Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Who the hell was that guy? That was different. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. Welcome into the show. That was Kramer filling in for BK, but BK's still here. He's actually sitting next to me today. It's good to have you on this side of the glass, buddy. How you living?
This is a new one for me. I've been in your chair before. I've been in Kramer's chair before. I've never specifically sat in this spot in the studio, so we'll see how it fits for me.
Well, Vern always keeps that chair warm, so you should be comfortable. Welcome into the show. Got a lot to talk about today. Pete Sweeney's going to join the act coming up an hour from now. Rich Gannon, former MVP. I'm going to ask Rich Gannon because, you know, he's got a vote. He actually gets a chance to vote on who wins the NFL MVP. I'm going to ask him who the leader in the clubhouse is right now. I'd say Lamar Jackson, and if Patrick Mahomes is still part of that conversation. But before we get too deep into this, let's give something away. Every day this week, we're going to give away a 16-inch pizza to the other place. All you got to do is be caller number 6 at 913-576-7610, and you, yes, you, will be the winner of a large pizza to the other place. Speaking of a pizza pie, let's divide the blame pie, because I think whatever word you chose yesterday to describe the Chiefs season so far, it certainly hasn't gone according to plan. And you can point to the injuries, and you can point to guys not being as good as we were going to be, as we thought they were going to be. There's a lot of different reasons why the Chiefs are 6-4 BK through 10 games and not what you or I or CDOT or pretty much everybody listening thought they were going to be. I thought at best, if everything broke right, this team could go 14-2. I thought their baseline could be maybe 10-6, 11-5 at worst. And now we're kind of trending toward that baseline. 10 games in, they're 6-4. My word yesterday to describe this season so far was unfulfilling. Remind me, what was your word?
Incomplete. My word was incomplete, because I think that encompasses everything about this team. The team is incomplete because of the injuries. The season is incomplete because I think there's still a story to be written for the team moving forward. So my word for this Chiefs season thus far was incomplete.
And we got a lot of different texts. We got disappointing. We got underwhelming. We got injuries. My word again was unfulfilling. I want to know why. And there's not necessarily always somebody that you can point the blame to, but that's what our parents did to us when we were little kids, right? Like, you got to blame it on somebody. So let's do it because it's fun. So here's your choices, BK. One, Andy Reid. Is Andy Reid the main reason why the Chiefs are 6-4 right now? Is it two, Brett Veach? That's option number two if you choose to go behind that door. One, Andy Reid. Two, Brett Veach. Or three, any other specific player or reason why the Chiefs are in the position they're in right now?
I would go with the door number three. My reason for the Chiefs being where they are today, and I think this is as symbolic as it is like a specific blame of this person, is Cam Irving. Cam Irving symbolizes everything that's gone wrong for the Chiefs this year. Cam Irving is the guy that stepped on Patrick Mahomes' ankle multiple times, true, resulting in the Chiefs in those games looking like a different team in the second half every time after Cam Irving stepped on Patrick Mahomes' ankle than they did in the first half. Cam Irving is in the spot at left tackle for the reason why this offense hasn't been what we saw a year ago. He's in that spot because Eric Fisher went down very early in the season. Week one, tried to come back for week two, wasn't able to do so. Cam Irving has been your starting left tackle ever since as a result. Cam Irving is a significant reason why, Sean, I know every day you come on here and you say, I want the Chiefs to be a good running team. They're not, in part because Cam Irving is your starting left tackle right now. So whatever your issue is with the Chiefs offense this year, Cam Irving probably shares a little bit of the blame in that being a problem for the Chiefs offense. So my one person that I would give the majority of the blame for, and maybe this is unfair, but he is symbolic of a lot of the issues that the Chiefs have dealt with this season, my one person would be Cameron Irving, the starting left tackle for your Chiefs.
I think it's pretty obvious who it is, and Cam Irving certainly on the short list. Who do you think it is? Hit us up on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line at 69306. If you have to point to one guy who's most to blame for the situation the Chiefs find themselves in right now, I think it's pretty obvious, BK, and I think it's Brett Veach, and here's why. He was handed the keys to the car. And I'm not talking about my 98 Honda Accord that hasn't started for the last 4 months. I'm talking about a Ferrari. Like, this team was already winning divisions. This team already had a lot of talent and a coach in place. And essentially, when he took over, his job was to take this team over the hump. And that hump wasn't winning the division. That hump was getting to an AFC Championship game and eventually getting to a Super Bowl. Of all the moves that he's made, so many of them have either been lateral or held this team back compared to what he could have done. I mean, if you think about it, we can break it down move by move. Frank Clark hasn't worked out. Sammy Watkins is overpaid. The entire draft of 2018. Justin Houston and Dee Ford would look just fine in a Chiefs uniform right now. Anthony Hitchens has been average. He didn't pay Chris Jones in the offseason. I think if you want to point to one person and say, this guy's to blame, and we can really keep going. I mean, the Chiefs running back situation's not good. The hiring of Steve Spagnuolo hasn't exactly been a great one. I think that there's a lot of blame to go around. But the biggest slice of the blame pie right now goes to Brett Veach.
I understand that because he's ultimately the guy that is picking the ingredients of the team that has become what is a disappointing soup right now, right? Like, I understand where you're coming from with that.
It's just a bland soup. It doesn't have much flavor.
I think a lot of that, and I know Chiefs fans don't want to hear this. I know they don't want to hear me come on today and talk about the I word.
I wanted French onion. Injuries, I got vegetable right? soup.
I understand that nobody wants to hear about the injuries, but it's part of the story of the 2019 Kansas City Chiefs. Like, if we don't come on here and talk about the injuries, we're just ignoring the elephant in the room that's been omnipresent since the very first moment that they stepped onto the field. They get onto the field in Jacksonville, and they lose Eric Fisher. They lose Tyreek Hill. The other team was actually ravaged by injury in that game, with the Jaguars losing Nick Foles in it. And then it just continued to happen. The domino effect of that first game and where it led them to today, I don't know how you can ignore it. And I do think that's a significant part of the Brett Veach storyline. Because Brett Veach, for as many flaws as he had, has built a team that is at least deep enough to continue to be in contention right now, despite the fact that Patrick Mahomes missed multiple games, despite the fact that they've been without their starting left tackle for 8 weeks now, despite the fact that the defense, I mean, you look across the field, Kendall Fuller hasn't played the last few weeks. They've been without starters along the defensive line seemingly every single week of the NFL season. So as much as I understand the frustration with Brett Veach, he's also a part of the reason why they're in this spot in a positive direction as well.
Give me specifics right there, because that's the part that I completely disagree with. The reason that the Chiefs are hanging around are moves that John Dorsey made, and I'm not going to buy into if you're going to tell me Patrick Mahomes, because we don't know anybody gives Brett Veach credit for that, and it's probably a big reason why he ended up with that job and why he still has it. What has he done? Like, feel free to point to specifics.
Yeah, sure. I think Reggie Ragland's been a net positive over the last few weeks. We didn't see it this week because he didn't play very much this week, and that's a Spagnuolo issue that I'm sure we can talk about later on. I think Emmanuel Ogba has been a tremendous move for this team, and he's been really good for them along the defensive line.
He was probably Veach's best move, and now he's out for the season.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a problem that we're going to have to talk about moving forward as well. You could talk about Tyrann Mathieu and Juan Thornhill, my guy, who had a bad week this week, but have been net positives at safety for them. The cornerback position has been patched up pretty well this year. It didn't show up this week specifically, but over the course of the season, they've been pretty solid in the secondary. I understand if you're frustrated right now with Brett Veach. I completely understand it. But we also have to talk about this in a fair way and give him credit for some of the moves that have worked out. In some of the moves that haven't, Sean, I think a big reason why is because of the injury. I don't think this is Frank Clark. I don't think we're seeing the player that he thought he acquired. I think we're seeing a injured version of that player, and I do think that's a significant part of why he looks the way that he does right now.
So people are asking where C-Dot is. They're concerned. People want to know if he got fired. No. People want to know if he took the day off because of Disney Plus. Maybe. I can't really confirm or deny that one. People want to know if he's faking sick. Yeah, he does that like once every couple of weeks, then we force him to come in. He's in New Orleans. C-Dot's chilling in New Orleans.
He's got a weekend bender. He's having a better weekend than we are.
You think he's drinking already? He just got there. Something tells me
he's definitely eating right now. Which means yes.
I think he's hanging out on his balcony on a very like I know see that. He didn't spend a bunch of money on the hotel room. Probably like, I don't know, $65. So he's staying at like a mid-range hotel, probably not on Bourbon Street, but like two or three blocks off of Bourbon Street so he can get there and still tell his stories. And I think right now he's probably just chilling. I'm going to be honest with you. I think he's listening to the show. If you're listening to the show, C-Dot, feel free to call in, even if you're boozing.
There's
all good.
Zero
I bet he is.
Chance
I know that guy. He's got a big head. He wants to hear how well you're doing. All right. We'll see. I bet he is. So you've got this theory that the defense this week looked different because Pat was back. A lot of people feel that way. It definitely looked different. The results were definitely different. I think it was more coincidence. Tell me otherwise.
Okay, so I looked this up before the show because I was curious. With Patrick Mahomes this year, the defense has allowed 26 points per game and 170 rushing yards per game. Without Patrick Mahomes this year, the Chiefs in three games, I'm including the Broncos game because he didn't play the majority of it, have allowed 20 points per game and 95 rushing yards per game. I can't explain this. I don't understand what's going on here. The only thing that I can say, and maybe this is causation, maybe it's correlation, I don't know what's going on here. But Patrick Mahomes being out of the lineup, I think made everybody else be at the top of their game. Andy Reid was at the top of his game. The defense was at the top of their game. Steve Spagnuolo was at the top of his game. We saw the best game plans offensively and defensively that we've seen all year when Patrick Mahomes was not on the field those 3 weeks. Is that a direct result of Mahomes not being out there? I legitimately don't know the answer to that question. But it's strange to me that when he's not out there, the defense stepped up. They stepped up and they lived up to every expectation that a Chiefs fan could possibly have for them against the Packers and the Vikings and in the game that they lost Patrick Mahomes against the Broncos.
If you wanted to sell me something about the running game not being as good with or without Patrick Mahomes or the wide receivers or the tight end player, the blocking or whatever, that's fine because he plays on, the offensive side of the ball. I'm not buying into this crap that there's a direct correlation between Patrick Mahomes being on the field and the defense playing better or different. And if they are, then that's just ludicrous.
Then what's the explanation?
I don't have one because the defense clearly did look different. Like, starting in that Denver game, I think the Chiefs and Spags finally simplified it and started to change and adjust, which was something that Bob Sutton never did. And I think they went, you know what? Let's just go up to the quarterback. Let's just blitz his ass. I think that came up at some point. They said, let's blitz his ass. And they did. And it worked. And they got 9 sacks. And we all came on BK and said, yeah, that was because it was the Broncos and Joe Flacco. Let's see what they do against Aaron Rodgers. And then they sacked Aaron Rodgers and had that dude run around all Sunday long, and it was like, okay. Then the next week, it wasn't just what they did against Kirk Cousins, but against Dalvin Cook, where I thought they were turning a corner, and as it turns out, I think you could argue now, they played their best defensive game against Minnesota last week, and now their worst defensive game the week after against Tennessee. But Pat did look great, and all these records that Pat set last year, he's on pace for one that nobody's talking about. I'll tell you what it is coming up next on The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
And the drive. Hello. And the drive rolls on with BK and Kramer. Is that your God-given name, Kramer?
Yes. Kramer awesome. Sandstone.
No.
Yeah.
That's got to be one of the coolest names in the history of names. Hey, along with DeBrickishaw Ferguson.
DeBrickishaw's number one.
Yeah, I'll get that number one.
When's your amateur wrestling debut?
It is the 23rd.
Have you come up with a name for yourself?
It is Code Jackman.
You're called Code Jackman?
Yep.
Where'd that come from? Just out of curiosity. Origin story?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, the Code Breaker by Chris Jericho is pretty sweet. That's his finishing move. But that's the first name. Then Jackman, I don't know. Hugh Jackman's a legend, so there we go.
is it crazy to me to think that might already be the name of an adult film star? Jackman? Just throwing that out there. That's BK. That's Jackman. I don't know what his name is. I'm the sports machine, Sean Levine, and you until 6 o'clock. A lot of people are actually agreeing with me on the text line that if we're dividing the blame pie, BK, the biggest slice should go to Brett Veach. And people are pointing out a lot of reasons why. The moves that he's made, the moves that he has not made, the draft from a couple of years ago. And then a lot of people are pointing out that a couple of people have called him Andy Reid's puppet. I didn't say that. That's from the text line at 69306. There was a lot of bad that came out of Sunday, no question. That's what happens when you lose in the fashion that Kansas City lost to who they lost to. There was some good, though, and Patrick Mahomes looked better than ever. I remember I was the idiot who was hesitating because I brought up the ankle, and everybody on the text line was crushing me, saying, stop it about the ankle and the knee and all that, and I said, there's no way they opened the full playbook, and all Patrick Mahomes did was go out there and throw for 440 yards and 4 touchdowns, and let's just call a spade. If you watch that game, dude could have thrown for 500 touchdowns if a couple of wide receivers would have made catches. Did I say 500 touchdowns? That'd be a record. 500 yards. He was awesome. He looked like the MVP Pat that we've gotten used to. And there's one stat that jumps out at me that for some reason nobody's talking about. BK, what's a good touchdown to interception ratio in the NFL in 2019.
3-1, something like that.
3-1, 3.5-1. When you're talking about 4-1, 5-1, now you're talking about the Tom Brady's. When you're talking about the 6-1, 7-1s, now you're talking about guys like Aaron Rodgers, who are the best in the history of the sport, not to turn the ball over. Check out this stat. Patrick Mahomes has thrown the ball this year 291 times, which is a lot considering he's been out for a couple of games. 291 attempts and one interception. Heading into this season, we were saying, is he going to take a step back? Is he going to be better? What's he going to look like? How can he improve? Right there. 18 touchdowns to one interception. I don't need to tell you that would be the best ratio in the history of the NFL. BK, we questioned if this guy was going to take a step back. Not only has he taken a step forward, but he looks like he's 100%.
Yeah, I never questioned that he was going to take a step back. I was not on that train. I find it really interesting because Patrick Mahomes was telling us all offseason, hey, you know, there's one thing that I really want to work on, and it is there are certain times when I take a shot when it should just, I should take what the defense is giving me. And I think this is something that we're seeing already with Patrick Mahomes that we see with a lot of elite-level athletes. LeBron James, during the prime of his career, I remember he used to talk about the one thing that he wanted to add to his game over the course of an offseason. When he was in Miami, there was one offseason where he went to work with Hakeem Olajuwon because he wanted to add a post presence to his game. The next season, he came out and he was like, you know what? I need to be more efficient. The one thing that I want to do this year is I want to be an efficient basketball player. The next season, he led the NBA in field goal percentage for the season. We're already seeing this. That was year 8, 9, 10 for LeBron James and his career. This is year 2 of Patrick Mahomes being a starter.
Number 2.
He went into the offseason with a very clear goal of this is what I need to do to take my game to the next level. In order to take my game to the next level, I got to be less risky with the football. I can still take my shots, and we saw that on Sunday, right? Patrick Mahomes took a lot of shots to Tyreek Hill. He took a couple to Sammy Watkins. He took a couple over the middle of the field to Travis Kelce. He's still taking some of those.
I took a couple of shots after that game.
Damn. But when they're not available,
I needed them.
Patrick Mahomes is making sure that he takes what the defense gives him. He's not throwing the risky ball. Last year, he was 15th in the league in interception rate. This year, he has the lowest in all of football. He had a very clear offseason goal, Sean, and he has executed it to perfection so far this year.
Almost all of his highlights from last year came in wins. Am I missing anything? Like, if you think about the pass to Tyreek Hill, if you think about the left-handed pass in the Broncos game, I feel like they almost all came in wins, because that's what happens when you've got an awesome play and an awesome game. We remember it. That might have been a top five Patrick Mahomes play that we saw on Sunday. That jump pass to Mecole Hardman, and a lot of that was Hardman, but a lot of that was also Patrick Mahomes. When you talk about only blank number of players can make that play, Patrick Mahomes is on the short list and Mecole Hardman is on the short list. Like, it took that combo to make that play. That was awesome. And so was the pass at the end of the game that we're not talking about, where there was almost no time left. Everybody was feeling down. There was like less than 20 seconds left. The Chiefs are out of timeouts. What are they going to do? They're going to put it in Pat's hands. He's going to throw across his body for what was it, like 35 yards, put the team in field goal range, and we all know that it didn't end the way we were hoping. But there were several plays in that game that made us go, okay, that's what we've been missing the last few weeks.
I think there is a case to be made that this was among Patrick Mahomes' best games Absolutely. That he's played as a pro. Like, this very well may have been, in terms of start to finish, the way that Mahomes played. Not those around him, not the way that the team played, but if you specify it to how did Patrick Mahomes play on any given game, I think you can make a case that this was one of, if not his very best games from start to finish.
36 of 50, 446 yards, a QBR of 81, a rating of 119, and again, those three touchdowns and no interceptions. Like, he looked awesome.
And he left some on the field. Like, there was the shot play that he took to Tyreek Hill where Tyreek was wide open, probably should have hit it. He hits that in most games. He just didn't hit it there. And there were a couple of drops, one by Sammy Watkins that immediately comes to mind, another by Tyreek Hill on an early 3rd-and-2 in the game. Like, it could have been even better than those numbers are that you're telling me about right now. Mahomes on Sunday gave me confidence moving forward that I know the defense has issues. I know the special teams isn't what it's been in recent years. I know that they have some issues right now in ball security, and certainly the injuries have been a problem all year. If this team has that player playing at that level moving forward, I don't care who they play. They've got a chance in every single game because that guy's their quarterback.
The issue, though, BK, is for 20 games, that's exactly what they did. They leaned on Patrick Mahomes, and last year he went 12-4 in the regular season, and this year he got out the gates 4-0, and it was all gravy, baby. And clearly something has changed. And I'm not saying Pat has anything to do with that because look at his numbers. They're as good or better than they were a year ago. There's a lot that's changed around him, which makes this team vulnerable. We know they can beat anybody. They beat Minnesota. They beat Baltimore. We also know they can lose to anybody. They've lost to Jacoby Brissett and to Ryan Tannehill this season. So this team has shown us that their 6-4 record is probably pretty close to as good as they are right now. Here's the solace, like you were saying. It's probably going to come down to, if the assumption is that this team's going to end up in the postseason, that's still what I'm going with, then it's going to come down to a 3- or 4-game tournament. And one of those games is going to be at the crib, and we'll see how the rest of it breaks, and you've got the best weapon in that tournament. So there have been a lot that's gone wrong through the first 10 games. We'll see how the next 6 pan out. It's going to be interesting. A lot of division games, a couple of road games. You have to play the Patriots, so I'm really excited. But I will say this. If the Chiefs lose to the Chargers coming up on Monday night, I don't think they're going to, but if they do, then the S is getting real, real. Because it's been a long time that any other team in the AFC West has controlled their own destiny. If the Chiefs lose to the Chargers, not only do the Chargers control their own destiny in the division, but so do the the Raiders. Speaking of the Chargers, they're pretty much got their Super Bowl this Monday night versus the Chiefs. But doesn't everybody play that game? And let's do a little stock up, stock down right here on The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
What's good? Kramer on the buttons, BK across from me, Sports Machine on the mic. This is The Drive taking you up until 6 o'clock right here on 610 Sports Radio. I love that commercial, but I can't ever get out of my head. Come on down to the grass pad. The grass pad's high on grass. That's got to be one of my 3 all-time favorite commercials. That, back in the day, Pizza Hut, they used to do this. 648-888-888-call 648-888-call 648-888-888 for Pizza Hut delivery. Remember that one, BK?
That was a little before my
Do you time. Remember Chiefs and Jumper? Chiefs.
I do. Okay. That one All was right. during
And you
my
can
time.
Stay.
Yeah, that was during my
Then time. You're good. Now, speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, they've got a big game coming up on Monday night versus the Chargers. And I don't think the Chargers are a good football team. I was wrong when I said that at the beginning of the season. C-Dot always wants to point out how wrong I was. That was also before I knew that Melvin Gordon was going to sit out, that Melvin Ingram was hurt, that Derwin James wasn't going to play until now. Like, there were a lot of issues with that team after I made that statement. When I saw the team that they actually threw out there, I thought that they were going to be 9-7, which is about what I think they actually are. Now, the AFC sucks. That might get you into the playoffs this year. That being said, BK, they're absolutely a threat coming up on Monday night. Let me give you a few reasons why. One, it's a division game. And you can say that Andy Reid's great against a division, and the facts are the facts. He's 25-5 against the AFC West, against quarterbacks not named Peyton Manning. So he dominates the Chargers like he dominates the rest of this division. The one edge that they would have is that they are a division opponent, which means they've already seen Patrick Mahomes a couple of times. So you can't sneak up on them with anything Pat does. Two, where the game is played. It's in Mexico City. And everybody knows what happened last year in the Rams game. I don't know what the field's going to look like. I've been trying to find images of it. It's hard to do, man. Like, maybe there's a secret dark web that I need to check out, but I can't find any pictures of what the field looks like right now. That's always a crapshoot, and so is the altitude situation. Actually, the Chargers are practicing in Colorado Springs right now because of the altitude. And then also, the Chargers, while they've had a down season, and it hasn't gone like we thought for the Chiefs, both teams have everything to play for. If the Chargers win this game, then they're 5-6. The Chiefs are 6-5. The Chargers have that tiebreaker in hand. Oh, by the way, these teams play again at the end of the season. So the Chargers would literally control their own destiny if they win coming up on Monday. And we don't even need to mention the fact that the Raiders would actually have the lead in the division. So if the Chiefs win, it's all good. They can hopefully create some separation. Everybody's going to agree that they're still the best team in the AFC West like they've been the last couple of years. But my friend, if they lose and then they've got a bye week, it's going to be a long 13 days where everybody's going to be talking about the sky is falling, and they probably should.
There's one very similar theme between these two teams that they both play a lot of close games. And they both find ways to lose really close games. The Chargers this year lost by 3 to the Lions. They lost by 7 to the Texans. They lost by 7 to the Broncos, 7 to the Steelers, 3 to the Titans, beat the Bears by 1, and then lost to the Raiders on Thursday night football, a game that we all saw by 2. They have found ways to lose these close games. One-score games are typically 50-50. That's what they've been this year for the Chiefs. For the Chargers, they've been like more 20-80. And for whatever reason, they can't get over the hump. That being said, there is one common element other than that that will be on display once again on Monday night between the Chiefs and the Chargers. And that is this. This is the Chargers Super Bowl. Just as it was the Titans Super Bowl on Sunday. Just as previously, it was the Lions Super Bowl and the Ravens Super Bowl and the Colts Super Bowl and the Texans Super Bowl. Every team that plays the Chiefs, and this was the case coming into the year because everybody knew that this was a Super Bowl expectation season for the Chiefs, they come in full well knowing if we get this win, it is a signature victory on our schedule. And that might not matter in the NFL the way that it does in college football, where you've got the polls and you've got a resume and all of those sorts of things, but it definitely matters in those locker rooms. And those locker rooms, the Chiefs beating the Vikings, mattered immensely because of the way that it happened with their backup quarterback on the field. How much do you think it mattered to the Titans on Sunday that in a game that they needed to have to stay in the playoff race, they were able at home to take down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs?
Oh, that made it their season.
It was huge for them. That changes everything about the way that team feels about itself moving forward, because now they know they can beat anybody. That's how the Chargers feel about this game. If the Chargers on a neutral field can beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, they will feel like down the stretch they can beat anybody.
And they should.
And the Chiefs don't enter these games that way. The Chiefs enter these games thinking, it's the Titans. We'll beat them. We got Patrick Mahomes. We'll be fine. So they go into the game without their starting defensive tackle, who's been great against the run, because they figure we're going to be up by so much, we can get away with having a guy that's a better pass rusher in Joey Ivey. We'll make him active.
Damn it, PK, then why wasn't your word sleepwalking? Because I said yesterday, you can use any word to describe this team, and you said incomplete, and I thought, well, that's not very original. You could have said sleepwalking, because it sounds like that's what you think this team is doing.
I think in a lot of ways they are. I think the Chiefs are trying to get to the playoffs. I think the Chiefs have basically said from day one, our season starts in the playoffs. It starts in the wild card round. It starts in the divisional round. It starts in the championship game, wherever it may be. That's where their season actually begins. And for these other teams, like the Chargers on Monday night, it starts with a victory against the Chiefs. And I think that's the difference in the mindset, Sean, that the Chiefs are taking into this game, or that they had been taking into these games, compared to what their opponents have had.
What's your level of concern? Hit me up on the Protein House Eat With A Purpose text line at 69306. If one is nothing, it's all good. We've had injuries. We've got Patrick Mahomes. We're going to be just fine. It's just a little bit of a slide. Or 10 is the sky is falling. The Raiders are right on our heels. We play the Chargers. We're going to lose this game coming up. 10 being the worst, 1 being nothing. Hit me up on the Protein House Eat With A Purpose text line, 69306. What's your number when it comes to level of concern right now? Mine right now, BK, is about a 6 with the potential to be about an 8.5 or a 9 if they lose to the Chargers. Because if they lose to the Chargers, then everything that we've been talking about since this offseason, since Pat won the MVP last year, since the team lost in the AFC Championship game, is hogwash, is fool's gold, is nothing. It doesn't exist. We're going to have to start talking about things like, oh, I don't know, the Raiders and the Chargers, which I thought after the 4-0 start, that conversation was already done. And at that point, it was what seeds this team going to be in the playoffs. So you could call it a must-win game. Then you can say, no, Sean, it's not must-win. Whatever. It's a must-win game coming up on Monday night.
I think this feels like a game that's going to tell us if the Vikings game was the fluke or if the Titans game was the fluke. If they win on Monday night against the Chargers, I think it's going to feel for a lot of Chiefs fans like, man, think about how many things had to happen for the Chiefs to lose to the Titans on the road. Like, they had to have a fumble recovery for a touchdown.
I think that was their best defensive performance and their worst defensive performance in back-to-back weeks. For what they did against the Vikings and contained Kirk Cousins and shut down completely Dalvin Cook. And then the next week, at the end of the game, Ryan frickin' Tannehill ends up beating you. And the worst part about the run defense to me, and there's a lot of things that are bad, is that the Chiefs know what teams are going to do to beat them. On that drive at the end of the Packers game, they knew it was going to happen. And then 10 straight times they let them run, and the clock went away, and they lost the game. In that last about 7.5, 8 minutes versus the Titans, we knew it was going to happen. They were going to hand it off to Derrick Henry, then do it again, then do it again. And they did, and eventually he broke that long run. So that's the part to me that's ultimately frustrating when it comes to this defense right now.
Right, and so I think Monday night's kind of going to give us some clarity on, was that the outlier? Was the Titans game the outlier of all of these different things had to come together for the Chiefs to lose that game? Or was it, man, look at how many things had to go right for them to win against the Vikings. Look at how many things they had to do well defensively to be able to beat the Vikings on a last-second field goal. Which one of those is real? Which one of those is real is what we're going to find out on Monday night against the Chargers, because the Chiefs are better than the Chargers. It is a neutral field. They're favored by a decent margin. This is a game that the Chiefs should win. There should be no reason that they lose this game. But if they do, it will tell me that I was wrong about the Titans game and thinking that that was fluky. It will tell me that the Vikings game was the fluke and the Titans game was what was for real.
You're not the only moron on this show right now, because I came on and said that I was going to be buying into the Chiefs' run defense if they could shut down Tennessee.
By the way, to answer your question, I'm at about a 3.5 right now in terms of my concern level.
And if they lose?
6.5 or 7. Like, okay. It jumps up quickly, because this is where things would start getting real for the division.
Oh, the ask gets real if they lose this game. But again, I'm with you. I think they're going to win.
2-5 in their last 7. Like, that's when things start getting a little more concerning. Like, this is the first week where I will be willing to listen to this is no longer a Super Bowl contender if they lose this game to that team in Mexico.
I'm looking at the Protein House Eat with the Purpose text line. People are all over the board, kind of like you and I. We're getting some 1s. We're getting some 10s. We're getting some 12s. People say that we're at DEFCON. We're at orange emergency level. So some people are panicking. Some people are saying it's all good. Obviously, right now, they're somewhere in between. But to pretend like this game isn't going to really either give us an easy feeling for the next 13 days during the bye week, where you can look at it and say, okay, we're in first place, we got that game in hand versus the Chargers, then everything will be pretty good feeling in Kansas City. If they lose, though, there's going to be a very, maybe not panicky feeling, but an uneasy feeling as the weather gets colder and Thanksgiving gets closer. All right, let's switch gears and play a game, because I love me some games. It's not quite Battleship or Mousetrap, but let's play Stock Up or Stock Down.
Stock Up. Stock Down.
Stock Down.
All right, first on the list of Stock Up or Stock Down, LeSean McCoy.
Oh, well, you have to be in the stock market, right, BK, to be either up or down, the way I understand it, right?
You got to have an IPO. If you don't, then it's a little tougher to buy into a stock that doesn't exist.
I'm not sure that he has an IPO right now. So I guess stock down. His stock was going way. So originally when they got the stock that was LeSean McCoy, I thought, whatever, that's a pretty safe thing to do. You pay him a couple of million bucks, and he's a veteran, and hopefully he can get out there. And then he's averaged 5.3 yards per carry. So his stock has been up for most of the season. You're a fool if you think that his stock is up right now. He fumbled. We didn't see him again. And then last week, he was in street clothes. So as of today, the stock for Shady is down.
I don't know how you can possibly buy stock from LeSean McCoy. Like, I'm not saying you should sell your stock. If you were a buyer of LeSean McCoy stock, right? This is a hold for me.
He's Dell.
You're sitting where you
is
are.
Is Dell stock still out there? Like, I'm not sure that you want that right now.
I don't think that Dell is still doing particularly well. Although I'm pretty sure we have Dell computers, so that's neither here nor there. I think you have to say stock down for LeSean McCoy, because in his last two games, he got 3 carries for 9 yards, and then he was inactive. They're selling us that they made him inactive because they want to make sure that he's good to go for the playoffs. I'm just not sure he's going to be a part of their plans in any significant way when they get there. So it's got to be a stock down for me.
All right, stock up, stock down, Sammy Watkins.
Sammy's stock's been going down since the ink dried on the contract a couple of years ago, and it's been going down since the end of the Jacksonville game, where he had 3 touchdowns and 198 yards, where I've got dude stats in front of me somewhere. I think that that was about half the yards that Sammy Watkins has accrued this year. Okay, not quite. He's got 512 on the season. He got 200 in the first game. You're better at math than me, but that's almost half. It's not good. It hasn't been good for weeks. He hasn't been the impact player that we hoped that he could be after week 1. Hate to do it, because they need this guy. They need the guy that was in the AFC Championship game showing out, but we haven't seen that guy for quite a while. Stock down on Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, it's got to be stock down. It's disappointing, too, because he looked so damn good in that opening week.
Didn't
like, he looked amazing against the Jaguars, and there was another play this week. Remember that sweep that they gave him where he was kind of running to the sideline, just strung it out? And it just never seemed like he was going to be able to turn the corner. He didn't seem to have the same jets that he did in the first week. I don't know what's going on with him. I think he's healthy. As far as we know, he's healthy. But it sure looks like he's not 100% when he's out there. He also had a couple of really bad drops this week. I got to go stock down on Sammy Watkins.
I mean, Sammy's not healthy when he gets out of bed. He can get injured brushing his teeth. So it just kind of is par for the course at this point.
I will say this for Sammy Watkins. I appreciate him confirming what all of us were wondering coming into the year. All of us wanted to know, is this the year that Sammy Watkins finally has the breakout and the Chiefs say, we've got to keep him? Or is he going to make the decision very easy for Brett Veach and deciding to either trade or cut him at the end of the year? And I think he's made the decision very easy. He's got like a $21 million cap hit next year.
See ya.
He's not going to be a Kansas City Chief next year. He's made that decision very easy for the Chiefs, the way that Alex Smith made the decision very easy to move on from him when they lost to the Titans.
All right, stock up, stock down, Juan Thornhill.
PK, it's your guy. You get first crack.
Are we going stock up or stock down since the beginning of the season? Or stock up, stock down since the beginning of last
week? Just say stock down. I know it's your dude, but the stock is down on Juan Thornhill.
Well, my guy Juan Thornhill had a really bad game, Sean.
He got trucked. He looked like a can of soda getting run over by my 98 Accord. That had no chance. By Ryan Tannehill, by the way. Not by Derrick Henry. By Ryan.
That wasn't him. No. Don't you put that evil on him.
He got
trucked by Derrick Henry.
Oh, was that Derrick Henry?
It was definitely not him. It was Rashad Fenton who got trucked.
I knew somebody
by
did.
Ryan Tannehill. Don't you put that
I was
on
like,
my
did
guy.
That not happen?
No. I'm We're sorry. Not going into that. So, I'm not a father, but I've been told that when you watch your child play sports, sometimes you just always see the best in them, right? Like, he could be the worst player on the basketball team who never makes a shot and is the worst player defensively and every team wants to expose. But you're going to watch out there, and the one time that he makes a shot, you're going to feel really good about it. That's how I felt this week about watching Juan Thornhill.
Yeah, I'm not a father.
Everything went poorly.
I'm not a father either, but something tells me that Derrick Henry, after trucking your boy Juan Thornhill, said, who's your daddy?
All right, stock up, stock down, Charvarius Ward.
I mean, still stock up. I understand it's been not necessarily the best couple of weeks for him, but the secondary hasn't been an issue. And if you want to talk about who the best cornerback this entire season has been, especially based on our expectations, I mean, coming out of camp, we didn't know if this guy was even going to make the football team, and he's been a guy that they absolutely need, not a luxury but a necessity. So stock up, way up for Charvarius Ward.
Yeah, it's got to be up. I came into the year thinking he was a number three corner. He looks like a legitimate number two. That's not a huge jump, but it is a jump. He's a guy that I think the Chiefs can – he's not a cornerstone piece, but you win by building around guys that are cheap like Charvarius Ward. It's one of the better moves Brett Veach has made. Charvarius Ward's definitely a stock up.
Stock up, stock down, Travis Kelce.
Kelsey's been good. He's been about what I expected. The only thing that he hasn't done is gotten into the end zone. He only has 3 touchdowns this year. Now, unfortunately, he's had 2 called back because of penalties. 56 receptions this year, 741 yards, and again, those 3 touchdowns. The stats, again, are about what I thought they would be. So is the impact. I'm still waiting on that huge Travis Kelce game where he has a 145 and 2 touchdowns and something like that. So he's been good. I'll go stock up. But honestly, the stock's been about flat where I thought it would be.
Yeah, he's on pace right now to have the second most yards that he's had in his career in terms of yards per reception, right in line with the most he's ever been. And then touchdowns is the only thing that he's really been waning on. So I would say that this is a stock up for Travis Kelce. He has put up a similar season to what he did last year. He just hasn't had the touchdowns. That's the only big difference for him.
Stock up, stock down. The last one, Steve Spagnuolo.
I was all ready to be stock up if this defense would have looked good against the Titans. And this defense looked fine against the Titans for, a little bit until they didn't. And then they pooped the bed. And I thought the defense got exposed. I thought that the defense looked a little bit lazy at times. The problem was how Tennessee did it and who they did it with. Like Ryan Tannehill. Look, if at the end of the game Aaron Rodgers comes down and beats you, he comes down and beats you. That's the MVP. That's the Hall of Famer. That ain't Ryan Tannehill. You know, Derrick Henry, if you give up a bunch of yards to Dalvin Cook or whatever, it's all gravy. That's what happens. No, not to Derrick Henry, who is not at this point in his career a top 10 or 12 running back, and he looked like Walter Payton on Sunday against the Chiefs. So I would say the stock as of today for Spags is down, unless we're comparing it to Bob Sutton, then it's still way up.
I've been told by the text line, the Protein LZ with the Purpose text line at 69306. I'm wrong. Apparently, Tannehill did truck
Dude,
him
I told
at
you.
The goal line. I've blocked all memory of this play out of my mind. I'm pretending that it didn't happen, so I'm just going to sit here and, again, assume that it didn't happen. As for Steve Spagnuolo, stock down. It's stock down. I don't have to add anything. You said that very succinctly, Sean. It's stock down for Steve Spagnuolo.
Coming up in a couple of minutes, we will give you a chance to win a prize in today's pop quiz. But right now, it's time for your daily dose of Levine's List.
Levine's
List. So, Disney Plus, everybody making a huge deal out of it. You get Disney Plus?
I did, yeah. I've got two different accounts.
Cream Dog?
Not yet.
Everybody went
home. No, it's not necessary to have two accounts. I just have two family members that got it. They both sent them to me, so I was like, all right, let's do it.
Everybody went home and watched their Disney Plus yesterday and was talking about it, and it was all over our Facebook feeds and Twitter and all that stuff. So I figured, what better list to do today than the top 10 Disney Pixar movies of all time? Little Mermaid didn't make the list. 101 Dalmatians didn't make the list, even though I do think Cruella de Vil is probably the best villain of any Disney villain out there.
For sure.
Lady and the Tramp. I heard they made a new one on Disney Plus. I got to check that out. I'm talking about the old school one.
Okay.
The Jungle Book, Love Me Some Mowgli. And I want to say Dumbo, but I rewatched that the other day.
It's terrible.
It's racist as hell.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's racist. I watched that the other day with my niece and nephew. I had to turn it off. I'm like, no, you guys can't. No, like you might end up getting some of this stuff. Here's my top 10.
Okay.
Number 10, Aladdin. Not the Will Smith version, the old school version. Number 9, this movie was made in 1940. And correct me if I'm wrong, because you're much more of a Disney geek than me. Have they ever remade Pinocchio?
No, it's one of the ones that I don't believe that they have.
Pinocchio's a classic. Number 8.
9 seems a little high, but.
Number 8, and I know you're going to have beef with this one too, Zootopia. The lessons that Zootopia teaches, whether you're a kid or an adult, and it's funny, and the scene with the sloth and the DMV.
Do you think I disagree with that because it's too high or too low?
I thought you'd think it was too high.
I think it might be too low. Oh. Zootopia is one of the best Pixar movies ever.
At number 7, Finding Nemo, classic. Number 6, either Fantasia or Alice in Wonderland. And I heard that if you eat mushroom pizza before you watch it, it's even better.
Way too high.
Number 5, Toy Story 3. Toy Story 3. At number 4, Beauty and the Beast. Not the live one, but the one back in the day, Beauty and the Beast. Again, gives the ugly guy a shot at the girl. I'm all down with Beauty and the Beast. Number 3, Mighty Ducks, the original Mighty Ducks, Charlie Conway. Number 2, the original Toy Story. And in my opinion, the best Disney movie of all time, The Lion King. Of course, with the wise Rafiki. Talk about life lessons. You learn a lot about life, BK, when you watch The Lion King. Lion King, Toy Story, Mighty Ducks, Beauty and the Beast, Toy Story 3, Fantasia or Alice in Wonderland on Mushroom Pizza, Finding Nemo, Zootopia, the original Pinocchio, Aladdin, my top 10.
A little surprised that no Frozen on the list?
Frozen sucks. Have you seen it?
What about Monsters, Inc.?
Monsters Inc. should probably be on
Mike
the list
Wazowski.
Somewhere.
I didn't think.
I think you've done better lists than this one. I would say this is not up there with the better ones that you've ever done. WALL-E would probably make my list at some point.
I've never watched WALL-E.
WALL-E's fantastic. Yeah, I think you were a little off on this one. Up probably deserves at least an honorable mention on this list.
I only got 10, man.
Yeah, well, you mentioned 27, I believe.
I did.
Could begin to it.
Well, you can't win anything, but the people can, which means it's time for today's pop quiz. As always, the pop quiz brought to you by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
Today's pop quiz is a movie. I see that would say, take it away, Kramer.
Kind of out of hand. Boy, am I glad you're a much better shot than you are protector. But thank you.
All right, come on.
I was good to you.
If you know what that movie is, give us a call, 913-576-7610, and you will get a large pizza to the other place. That flew by. 1 hour in the books, 3 more to go. Look what the catch is drug in. Pete Sweeney joins us to talk Chiefs here on The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.